He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. Really quick, right after you get past verse 21, this was his reply to Nicodemus. After these things, so now we're changing. We're going to another time period. Verse 23, and John was baptizing in Anna near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except if be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. So, I know we read through a lot. We're going to go back through. We're going to touch up on each thing. But just starting out, you know, we're coming back into Jesus right here is talking with Nicodemus. He's still replying to Nicodemus. It's still their conversation. Nicodemus came to him at night. We've been in it for a while, and we've been getting a lot of helpful things. But going back over verse 17. When it said, For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18, He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, verse 17 and 18 are very important. You find out, in verse 17 and 18, you find out, we were without hope. We were without hope. Before you trusted Jesus as your Savior, you were without hope. There was no hope until we see that His Son was sent into the world. And He wasn't sent in the world to destroy, to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You are only condemned by not trusting Christ. You are only condemned by not trusting Christ. That is what's happening here in these two verses, 17, 18. It is literally telling us you are only condemned if you don't trust Christ as your Savior. God didn't make it hard. God made it easy because He knew us as humans would mess up. He knew us as humans, or we're finite species. But God made it so simple that anybody could get salvation. Salvation was for all, but it's only for those that will trust Jesus. If not, then you're condemned. You're already set in your way. You're already on your way to hell. But the Bible says you trust in Jesus, the only begotten of the Son of God, and you go from condemnation, now you're not condemned. Verse 19 through 21, and this is the condemnation. The light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. I was looking at this whole section right here. We're dealing with darkness and light. This is what we're dealing with in verses 19 to 21. In verse number 19, when it said, Men love darkness rather than light, I went back and I wanted to figure out what word did they use when they translated it over from the Greek. What word was it? And what word was that word? Darkness. So I looked it up. And then I found out while I was looking into it, There was about 32 other times this exact word was used. So I looked up what darkness was meaning here. And there are about three different meanings. One is it's like a shadow. Number two, it could be a shade. Number three, I thought, sounded the best. I mean, they all work. But number three was obscured. Obscured. When something's obscured, you can't see it as well. And what they're talking about when they're saying that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. When somebody goes to steal a car, do they steal a car in bright daylight? Not usually. Do they try to rob your house while you're there with all the lights on? Because men love darkness rather than light. Darkness is a covering. Darkness is an obscurity for what they are doing. And there's a bunch of different other verses that went exactly with it. You can go to Matthew 6:23, use the same exact word, darkness. Mark 15:33, Matthew 27:45, and Luke 23:44 are all talking about after Jesus gave up the ghost, and you got the centurion sitting there, and it says that it went completely dark. The sun was covered up, darkness. That same exact word definition is right here. It was hard to see. Paul, take a look at this one. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse number 20. Acts chapter 2, verse 20. Acts chapter 2, verse number 20. If you take a look here, the Bible says, "The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord, come." You know, talking about we're going to be having the resurrection coming. But that same darkness right there, the same darkness that you find being described here in verses 19 to 21, same idea, it obscures. Right here, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord. You're not going to be able to see very well. There's going to be things that are covered up. There's going to be things that are hidden. Go over same book, 13:11. Acts 13:11. Paul's given a testimony of what happened to him. And this is when he's on the road to Damascus, the light comes down. Look at 13:11. "And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a
darkness.
And he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand." That same idea. He couldn't see. It was over him. That's why he's over here. "Hey, where's the hand? All right, take me into town." That's what he was doing. He couldn't see. It was obscured. It was a darkness. But God is telling us here, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Because they could get away with something. So, let me bring it home. What is it? Who's been a Christian for 10 years? Raise your hand. Have you been a Christian for 10 years?
None.
Been saved for 10 years.
Have you been
saved for how many?
1968 I got saved.
Oh, amen. What about you, Miss Shirley?
No, it's about 12.
About 12? What about you, Miss Betty? You remember when you got saved?
Yeah.
When you were young?
You remember when you got saved?
Yeah, but I don't remember everything.
Do you remember when you got saved?
No, I was drugged in church from the time I was born. So I just remember believing when I was very young. I always believed like the Jews were the Jews. They were the honored people. I mean, I never thought of them as not being Jewish.
Right.
Jesus, not me,
Jesus.
How about you? About 41 years now.
41 years. What about you, Miss Sally?
Oh, no talking about it.
All right. I trusted Christ when I was about 5 years old. Started living for him a lot more when I was 10, 15.
I was about 8 or 9.
8 or 9. Not yet. And Ms. Martha?
I was saved when I was 15. But I didn't feel like I was saved. So in 1957, we had a revival. And I went to the altar and gave my life to the Lord.
Amen.
I know that once you go and I had to do the solution, but it just didn't feel like it was right. You know what I'm saying? And I think we all should rededicate our life a lot. Do you believe you should rededicate your life?
It's never wrong to go before, because you only got this one chance. Even if you're going to be the laughing stock, it don't matter. You've got this one chance in this life. If you've got to go get reassurance, go get reassurance. That's no harm, no foul. God's not going to look at you poor for making sure that you know for sure that you're going to heaven. He's going to say thank you. Say, show thyself approved, workman that need not be ashamed. That is by the word of God. You know.
I always ask if there is any unconfessed sins in my life that God will reveal them to me. Because when you go to the offering, you know these things are all forgiven.
Yeah.
But I also always ask God to reveal to me if there's any past sins that I have not confessed.
So everyone here has been saved, though, right?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Best thing ever happened.
And you've been saved for at least a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, amen.
What ends up happening, the longer that we're saved, the more and more we'll let things slip. He's saying that men love darkness in this passage. Okay? Because their deeds were evil, because they were able to keep it covered up. Once you've been a Christian for a while, you find out how to keep things covered up.
Mm-hmm.
You find out, oh, this is the lingo that I talk. This is the way that I go and see people from church. But let me ask you, everybody, this, including myself. And you know, don't answer out loud. I'm not asking for an answer. I'm not asking for a show of hands. But is there something right now that is between you and your Savior? There's something right now that maybe you're thinking, oh, I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be watching this type of movie. I shouldn't be acting this way. I shouldn't be letting this happen in my house. I'm not asking you for what it is. Maybe it's just that you haven't been reading your Bible like you should, like faithfully. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But the longer you become a Christian, the easier it is to cover it up. Especially when you're going to church, and whether your church has 5 services a week or whether it has 2 services a week. You know, you may think, okay, well, I'll go to church and that'll be my Bible reading. And I got it. I don't need more than that. That's not why church is here. Church is not here to be a crutch for your Bible reading. Gotcha. Church is not here, let me say, to be a crutch for your prayer. We should be praying every single day. And you know, and hey, I'm at fault too. You know, I'm not getting up and saying, hey, look at me. No, don't look at me. Look at God. That's the one you're going to have to answer to. You know, we've got a Bible. We've been in church long enough where we've learned how to pray. We know that we should be sharing our faith. These are just things. But as we become Christians, we kind of start to let things slide. Or maybe there's things, maybe you're watching that you would never tell someone at church that you're watching. Why are you watching it then? These are the real heart issues, and that's what God wants to hit, is God wants to hit our heart issues. Are you in love with the Savior, or is it just an act? We might have been in love with the Savior when He saved us from sin and we trusted Him, but as time has gone on, have we started to fall back? Just something to try and help.
Brother Tim, if I could, real quick. C.T. Townsend's got a sermon he preaches called How Is Your Well? And in it, he relates the story of this woman. She was getting on up there in age, and she had a well there on her property. And she called a crew out one day to come and clean her well. And they came, they did all their digging with all the cleaning and whatnot, and they were there a few hours. They got done. They foreman went to the house there and said, "Your well's clean, ma'am." And she says, "No, it's not." And he says, "What do you mean it's not?" She says, "It's not clean. You come back tomorrow or you don't get paid." Well, they came back tomorrow. They dug down deeper. They get several more hours, got more stuff out of the well. Got done. Says, "Ma'am, your well's clean." She says, "No, it's not. You come back tomorrow. You're not going to get paid." Now, the next day they came back and they're digging and they're throwing the stuff out of the well as fast as they can dig it out. And the lady suddenly came outside with a handful of money. He says, "Here's your money." And the foreman says, "How in the world do you figure it's clean now when it wasn't clean the last 2 days?" She says, "Because sitting right there on the top of your pile is a silver teacup. And my earliest memory as a little girl is playing with Mama's silver teacup set and dropping one of the silver teacups down that well. And so I knew when you finally got down to that teacup, the well would be clean. So years of dirt and whatnot has piled on top of it. They had to dig down through it. And then there could easily be some little something way back there in our lives that is still an unconfessed sin we've forgotten all about. We did it on the sly. We got away with it back then, but we never got it confessed. We never got it clean. And until that little thing gets took care of, the rest of it's polluted. And we need to make sure then that we're getting everything done. We're getting ready to do the Lord's Supper again here on Sunday. And the first thing we're going to do before we partake of it, we're going to pause to make sure that, hey, God, is there anything that I need to confess? Whether it's a sin of commission, something we've intentionally done, or a sin of omission, something that we were supposed to do and we didn't do. Both equally sin. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So we need to make sure, because this darkness, it could be as bright as the sun out there, but, you know, kind of dark inside of our skulls. I'm not saying anyone's dumb, I'm simply saying the light ain't inside of our skulls from that sun out there. And what does the Bible say about man? The only thing great about us is our imagination for wickedness. That's there in Genesis chapter number 6. Up here. We've got to get that cleaned up, every little aspect of it. Because it's still that darkness that we are after.
It also reminds me, I've been driving for the fair since it's been open, which I was driving one night. And during the day, man, you see it all. Nothing is hidden under the sun. I mean, you can see, because it's flat land anyway, so you can see everywhere. But as soon as that sun goes down and it's nowhere in sight no more, out there's no street lights. It's your lights on your bus, and hopefully they can be seen. Well, you don't see anything when you're going down, even with your lights on the bus, until it's right up in front of you. We had a couple different times. People were walking on the side of the road, dark clothing, can't see a thing until about 3 feet in front of you. And then you see them.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the thing is, you know, it's so dark, you don't see it until wham, right up on top of it. You know, anything that's between you and your Savior. Go to him. He's not there looking down so that he can thump you on the head. God's looking down, so he's like, "Hey, I want to be able to reward you. Come on. That's what God's doing. A lot of times when especially I've heard from many people that have grown up in church, that you're always looking, you see God as God looking down and wants to thump you on the head. God doesn't want to do that. God wants to be able to reward you. But he's only going to reward you if you're doing what's right. Let's go back to our chapter 3. next two verses, this might be all the time we have for tonight. But the next two
John 3.
3:22-23. John 3:22-23. So at this point, like I said before, we are going out of talking with Nicodemus. We are now being set after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea. And there he tarried with them and baptized. So now we see Jesus baptized. And John was baptizing in Anna, near Salim. The next six words here are going to be very important. Remember, I know you've heard Brother Dennis, when he preaches and he talks about words, I talk about words, they are so important.
Nice.
If you did not like English when you were in school, I'm sorry, but English is probably, if I were to say you need to learn one thing, I'd say before you start trying to learn your Bible more, learn your English so you can know your Bible. There are so many people that have been messed up and have messed up other people because they're not reading their Word of God. And they don't know.
You were horrible in English.
You were horrible in English, but remember, how did you get good at something? How about your writing?
Yeah.
Over and
how
over.
How do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice.
Me driving the bus, I was not very good at it. But as I keep driving, I get better and better and better. And not only that, you can also ask for help. When you're in school, you're like taking a test. It's like, oh, you can't talk to anybody. When you get out of school, and if you're stuck because you don't understand how this English work, hey, how does this work? Can you explain this to me? Iron sharpens iron, and so the countenance of his friend.
Yep.
Proverbs. But it's not wrong to ask for help.
Nope.
They're not going to look down on you. Nobody will look down on you.
And if they do, they're wrong.
Yes. You should always be able to ask for help. There should never be a point where you can't ask someone to show you something.
And as James said, you have not because you ask not.
So those next six, and John also was baptized in Anon near Salim. What are the next six words? Read them out with me.
Because there was
much water there.
And they became.
What did he say?
Much water.
There was much water there. If I were to take this, it's not, this is a form of water, but it's like a packet. But if I were to take this, and if I, can I do it? Hang on. Okay, everybody. Wait. Okay. I got this? Okay. That is not baptizing. Why not?
Because you're going to die.
Why not?
Because you're not.
Why not?
Under.
Wait, what did you say?
Sunk under.
Sunk under or immersion. You guys both said the right thing. And right here describes life, because there was much water. I only had a little bit of water when I did that. The Bible says much water. Run over to 8:36. Acts 8:36. Remember, the Bible always, it'll always, if it's something that God wants us to know, he repeats and teaches us multiple times, but use the Bible to define the Bible. So, 8:36, this is a very famous portion. This is where Philip goes and he leaves his meeting because God told him to. And he goes on the road to Gaza and he meets an Ethiopian eunuch. Now, this eunuch is reading the passage of Isaiah. He doesn't know what he's reading. Philip says, you understand what you're reading? No, I don't. Can you show me? Okay. So he gets ready, he shows him exactly what's going on. But then, 8:36 is where the rubber meets the road. After he's already explained, now look what's going on. 8:36. Well, I'll start in 35. Then Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. Taught him Jesus, okay? And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. what doth hinder me to be baptized?
Okay.
Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they stopped, and he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water. Okay, if you go into the water, does that mean you have much water or a little bit?
With a chariot?
They both got out. The Bible says they both got out. They command the chariot to stop. They get out of the chariot, and it says...
Both went into the water.
Into the water. So if you have a little bit of water, can you go into it?
No.
You can go into it,
but you can't say it, and you can't do anything else with it.
Right.
Just like I sprinkled it on her face, and now it's gone because she wiped it off. She's not in the water no more. The Bible is specific. Do not try to change the Bible. God said you have to have much water. You've got to be baptized by immersion. If you're not baptized by immersion, you were not baptized. That is what the Bible is saying.
Amen.
You were not baptized by immersion. Remember, the steps for being baptized.
What's
number
immersion?
One, what has to be
immersion
what has to be before you get
fully
baptized?
Under.
What do you have to do before you get baptized? Anybody know? You got to be saved. You got to be saved. The Bible says you got to be saved. That's what he said here. He said, what hinders me to be baptized? Well, you got to believe on Jesus. Okay, I'll believe on Jesus. Chariot, there's some water there. Stop. Okay, let's get out. Let's go dump me in there. Because he wanted to be baptized. And this is exactly what God's talking about. These are two different passages. One back here in John chapter 3, talking about much water was needed to be baptized. Then you come back here to Acts 8:36, and then you even see it in 8:39 when they both went into the water. It wasn't a little bit of water. You have different doctrines that go around that people try baptizing babies. That's not okay. Does anyone know why it's not okay for baptizing babies?
Because
they're not of age.
I mean, they're
age of accountability. There's no accountability as a baby.
They're saved until they're...
Wait, what are you saying?
They're saved until they're age, a certain age.
Of accountability, yeah.
The age of accountability. What is the one reason why it's not okay for you to sprinkle or baptize a baby?
Because it's immersion.
But why? What do you have to have first before you get baptized?
You have to be saved.
You got to be saved.
Right.
The baby is not saved.
Right.
Now, I understand where you're talking about the accountability.
Okay.
And that's where God, that's where King David, you go back to King David, he said, I'll go see my child again. That's where we say, hey, if David knew he was going to go see his child that died, then that means God had something set up.
Jesus was baptized.
He was baptized on purpose so people would see. And there's another portion. When he was baptizing, John had to put him in. You read through that story of when John baptized him, he was putting him in. It wasn't sprinkling. But it's very important. You know, don't change the Bible and don't let people that come up to you that have a new way or a different way of thinking. If it's not biblical, throw it out. You're not going to make friends, I get it. But you'll be able to show them and maybe they'll switch over and say, okay, I'll believe the Bible. And if they don't, okay, sorry, but we're sticking with the Word of God and we're not going to let you step over our toes. I know I took a little longer on that one.
I know. It just really bothers me when Meadow was baptized.
Yeah. Well, like I said...
I mean, that's their belief. That's Lutheran belief, such as the Catholic belief, and probably others.
Well, that's the thing. That's why it's so important for us to know our Bible.
Okay.
It's so important for us to know the Word of God and what the Word of God says. Because I could choose and go make up my own religion and say what I want, but it's not based on the Bible.
I would like to ask them, where do you see in the Bible where it says you...
I'd like to see a lot of them, please, the people to please tell me what it is they believe and how they believe. There's a lot. besides the baptism.
Yeah, there's a bunch. But that's why we know our
Bible.
But
again, baptism is not a part of salvation.
Right, and it's not included in other people's religion.
Yeah, but like I said, you know, I like us having the Tuesday night because we get to go through this, but then we also get to learn different things.
Right.
And we can talk about it. You know, if there's ever a question you guys have, you know, bring it on Tuesday night, and we'll just stop whatever lesson, and we'll go over that the whole time. Because it's so important. If you don't know why babies will go to heaven, if you don't know why, you know, you name it, you got a question, bring it. Honestly, that is what we're here for, is to help each other. Because as you come in here, and it doesn't matter if it's a lost person or if a person has been saved 50 years, and they're coming on a Tuesday night. Our goal is to help give you guys stuff that you can fight back with against the world for the rest of the week until you come back. Because it's a fight every single time. And that's why Ephesians chapter 6, we've been going over with Ephesians 6:16, you know, putting on that whole armor of God, it is very important. Come to church so that you can get something that maybe you didn't know from the Word of God. You can apply it and go back out that week ready to face hell and all everything, Satan and all his angels, you know. But it's very important. You know, that's the one I'll leave us on. But baptism's by immersion. The Bible doesn't say anything else of sprinkling at any point. It's baptism by immersion. If you don't like it, then take it up with God. But God said it, we're going to stick with it. Any other questions? Comments? I saw your hand back there, Miss Betty. I saw your hand go up. Sorry.
In our church, I have a Windsor Reformed Church. That's right.
Yeah.
We were baptized at Indian. And then when we came of the knowledge of our need of salvation, we came forward and were joined to the church. Not baptized, because we were already baptized. But it always bothered me where it said, believe and be baptized. I couldn't, you know, I read the Bible in different places that it kind of refers to the same thing. Believe and be baptized. So, I don't know what year it was, but it was on the record, but I'm sure that I was baptized here.
Amen.
No, it wasn't either here. It was at the church in New Orleans before I moved there.
I was baptized four times in the Hammond Baptist Church. Four times.
Wow.
They just said, okay, you're safe. Dunk, you're safe. Dunk, you're safe. Dunk. It's ridiculous.
But as long as you've got that one time that you know for sure that you trust the Christ as your Savior, then after that, God gives you the opportunity. The very first thing you can do is say yes to
Pastor,
God.
Pastor, I didn't know anything at that time. I would say 7.
But now you do.
Oh, yeah.
That's what
matters.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Big difference.
Any other questions?
I do got a funny story real quick. Leastwise, it's funny to me. You mentioned earlier about the stealing stuff in the daylight. Most of you all have met Priscilla. Years ago when we were going to Sunrise, I was over at the youth pastor's house, Brett Clayton. For those of you who don't know him, he's black. She called him and asked if he could come help because she had locked her keys in her car over at Purdue Cal, or Purdue Northwestern, whatever it's called now. So he's like, I don't know how to go about getting that out for her. I mean, we could try a coat hanger. And I said, well, I've got a Slim Jim in my car.
That would help.
So here we've got a white boy, a black boy, a Hispanic woman with her, Halo was what, like 9 years old? So her little chica. We are in broad daylight in the middle of a very busy parking lot, trying to break into a bright yellow Mustang.
Oh,
we were a motley crew, but I did get in.
And nobody questioned you.
And we got a couple of looks, but it's like, okay, they're doing this in the daylight, whatever.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because nobody would do it in the dark. They would wait for the dark to be where they were doing it.
I reckon.
All right.